Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Scorching hot.
What's up, everybody? It's Owen Main for the Fansmanship.com podcast. Hey, I want to remind you that the Fansmanship podcast is available on iTunes. You can download it, subscribe to it. You can even rate us like 5 stars or something. That would be fantastic. And so you can go to iTunes anytime you want to. And we're there under Fansmanship podcast. And you can listen to it there as well as on our site. On today's podcast episode, I got a chance to talk with Bill Halter. Bill is the KSBY sports anchor, along with being the play-by-play voice of Cal Poly football and basketball when they're on TV on KSBY. There will be, I think, 3 more football games and at least 1 or 2 basketball games coming up on KSBY. Bill also hosts a Thursday night high school football preview show on ESPN Radio 1280 from 6 to 6:30 p.m. Bill's from Minnesota originally, so we talked about a little bit about his Minnesota roots. We talked about North Dakota. He was actually up at the game in Grand Forks this last weekend with the team. And we talked about his move to the Central Coast and a little bit about the difference in intensity for sports fans in the on the Central Coast and in the Midwest there. I hope you enjoy it. It's the Fansmanship.com podcast with Bill Halter. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. Owen Main here, and joining the podcast today in studio, the palatial, my spare room studio at my house is Bill Halter. Bill, how's it going?
I'm good. I'm going to try to keep my elbows to myself. I don't want to knock anything over here. You got some pictures of Kobe and Shaq. You got printers, and I mean, this is a little stuffy in here, but thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's our pleasure, and we're happy to have you here. Bill, of course, is sports anchor at KSBY. He has a, not Wednesday, Thursday night high school football show on at, is it 6:30?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock to 6:30, I think, or yep. 6 o'clock to 7?
6 o'clock, 6:30.
6:30 yep. On 1280 on ESPN Radio, and of course is the television play-by-play voice of the Cal Poly Mustangs on KSBY, and we're thrilled to have him here. He walked into my house and kind of ducked into the studio here. Of course, he stands about 6'7". Bill, I think you and I are close to the same age. Are you still throwing down?
I'll get up, throw down. I mean, it's just not as easy as it once was. It takes a lot more stretching than it used to.
You got to warm up a little bit ahead of time.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I think I threw down once in my life. So
that's the way you can say you did. You can say you did it.
Yeah. It takes just the right court. Just the right court to
what, a trampoline?
Yeah. AKA like the Morro Bay High School new gym, I think. Bill Halter's been at KSBY for how many years now?
3.5. Going on 3.5.
Going on 3.5 years, and on the Central Coast, of course, came to San Luis Obispo from via North Dakota. Is that
Bismarck,
right?
North Dakota. I was working there.
Okay.
And so I was actually back in my old stomping grounds over the weekend when I traveled with Cal Poly to Grand Forks to cover the Mustangs and I was going to say Fighting Sioux, but they're not the Fighting Sioux anymore. Mustangs and UND.
On the message boards, they're calling them the Fighting Nothings.
The Fighting Nothings. I guarantee you, folks in Grand Forks wouldn't like that.
They don't like that, right?
No.
So you got to go back to Grand Forks, to your old stomping ground. Tell me about like how that was to kind of go back.
Well, it's fun. I mean, I North Dakota, I don't blame anybody for when they hear the words North Dakota to just kind of cringe and be like, that's not a destination I'd like to end up at. But the folks there are great, and it's a state that there's a lot of openness, and it's a lot different than it is out here, and the winters are tough, but the people are really, really great out there.
Got it. Great. And you got to travel out there. You don't go to all the road games, right?
But well, Cal Poly has – the way that the football team travels is an issue in some regards. A lot of the Big Sky teams charter to every game. Cal Poly just charters to one a year, and it's been North Dakota the past 2 years. And so when you're chartering just straight from Santa Maria to Grand Forks, I'm able to go on those flights. But when they're flying commercial, they're paying the rates that, you know, they usually bus to LA, fly to a major pub, you know, like a Denver or something, and then drive
like when
up.
They went to Wyoming, that's what they did, right? They flew to Denver, LA to Denver, and then busted up to Cheyenne.
Yeah, and I think they're flying into Salt Lake City Thursday before the Weber State game. So, but that's an issue. I mean, they're having to spend a lot more time traveling than a lot of the other teams in the conference do. And not only traveling there, but traveling back. So essentially on these long road trips, they lose a day. Whereas a lot of teams get to spend Sunday looking at film. At least the coaches get a chance to look at film. The players are traveling back home.
Paulie's always on the go. I heard there were some plane difficulties on the way out there.
It was delayed. The charter got, the plane got held up in Vegas for an hour. So we didn't get in until like 10:30 that night. And the one thing that kind of surprised me is the night before the game is, and I don't know what the alternative could have been, but the meal getting off the plane was pizza. So the pregame meal for those guys was, not pregame meal, but the night before meal for
less
the players
than 24 hours away
was pizza. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I guess they can't complain too much. They went in there and got the win on the indoor field. How much different do you think it is for those guys to play on an indoor field? I mean, you know, being from California, you rarely get a chance to play anything indoors. I mean, you know, you can play basketball outdoors in San Luis County most of the year. How much different is it? How much of a factor is it for those guys?
In previous years, the Alaris Center in North Dakota was that old AstroTurf. I mean, it was essentially just playing on carpet, but they improved it this year. They spent like $3-4 million getting that artificial grass. So the difference wasn't much at all. It was as close to real grass as you can get. Whereas last year, the players were wearing tennis shoes, essentially. This year, they were able to wear cleats.
Yeah, and that's kind of dangerous to be playing on that old stuff too, right? Like the old stuff that was at like Veterans Stadium and like those old baseball stadiums.
It's like getting tackled on concrete. I remember Jared Houston, the wide receiver for Cal Poly last year, he got tackled on that stuff and he lost about 2 feet worth of skin on his leg. You know, I mean, you can't go down on that stuff without losing some skin.
Wow, yeah, absolutely. So for people who don't know, describe kind of what you did before you came to KSBY. You were doing a similar role at the station in Bismarck?
I was working at a TV station in Bismarck, North Dakota, doing the same types of things. I hosted two coaches shows. We had a D-League team out there. The Dakota Wizards played in the NBA D-League, so I hosted a coaches show for them. And then we had a Division II school that I hosted a coaches show for. And then same thing, weekend anchor and doing some other stuff. We did a lot of televised games. We televised all the high school tournaments. And then we televised a bunch of local college games and televised all the North Dakota State games. So I got a chance to do a lot of color commentating, some sideline stuff there.
Yeah. Talk about, I guess, the difference in our site's called Fansmanship. So I've lived in Florida and Colorado and a couple other places. And everywhere I go, I find a little bit, you know, some similarities and some differences. I was telling you about earlier, I got to go to Wisconsin last year and see some basketball there, and everybody in the Midwest, and I'm not going to generalize too much, but some of those Midwestern schools are really, and some of those Midwestern fans are really, really excited about their sports. They're so knowledgeable. It seems like what they have to do during especially the winter time when it comes to basketball. Describe a little bit of the difference in, I guess, attitude towards sports in the Midwest. You're a Minnesota guy originally, versus the attitude that you find about, you know, for sports in California.
I think there's maybe a little bit more of a higher percentage of people who are fanatical about it. And I don't use the word fanatical in a bad way. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
There may be a little bit more higher percentage of people. And I think the point you made about there's not as much else to do there, I think, is certainly probably a factor. It's, you know, out in San Luis Obispo, there's so many different things you can do, including outside activities. And then I think another thing is, in a lot of those Midwestern towns, people are born and raised there. They've lived there their whole lives, whereas out here, there's so many transients that are coming from all over the place. So I think that's another factor in the terms of just people being fanatical. I want to know everything there is to know about my team, and I want to hear everything that there is to be said.
Sure. As a Slo County high school grad, myself and then the other two guys at Fansmanship, we all grew up in Cayucas, and we all went to Coast Union in Cambria. I can remember at the end of a Friday night game, you know, rushing home to turn on the TV and see the Friday night highlights for high school football and seeing you know, who are they going to show, what highlight are they going to show, how are they going to show our game, are they going to give it more than, you know, two or three highlights, or is it going to be like five or six, or you know, who's going to get on there? And then that guy, of course, you know, got ribbed on Mondays, but it was a big deal to go home and see that. talk about Thursday nights and the radio show and kind of the, I guess, continuation of trying to cover high school sports in this county.
Yeah, and I think there was a market for it. And so Mike Chelson, who runs things over at ESPN Radio, came up with the idea to do a preview show Thursday nights, starting, you know, just started, you know, half hour show is how we started it. And I was happy to be a part of it because I agreed with him. I think that there was a market for it. And I
agree too.
Yeah. And so what we've tried to do with the Central Coast High School football show on Thursday nights, again, 1280 a.m., 6 to 6:30, is just give some insight on teams and try to give some, you know, people who don't have an opportunity to know what's going on with Lompoc High School football during the week, you know, some insight on what they've got going leading into their game. And we've tried to get interviews with coaches, and we even had a Mission Prep quarterback Tyler Beatty on last week.
Yeah.
And then we tried to have some fun with it, give an opportunity for people to call in, and we've had some competitions to win prizes and I think there's a market for it, and you touched on the fact that on Friday nights people do get excited about their football.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the best high school team that you've seen so far this season?
That's easy, Lompoc.
Yeah, they're far and away.
Here's why: because if you were to talk about who's the second best team in the area, Arroyo Grande would be in that conversation, and they beat Arroyo Grande 31-0.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, Lompoc's really good right now.
Is Lompoc defending CIF champ?
They've won 25 games in a row, which is the longest winning streak in the state. And they play Templeton on Friday. And if they can get by Templeton, they'll probably run the table the rest of the way. And so they'll have a 30-game winning streak going into the playoffs. And then come playoff time, they're in a higher division this year, so it won't be as easy for them to win there.
They got moved up.
Yeah, they got moved up to the Northeast division, I think. Those divisions get confusing sometimes.
Yeah.
But whatever, they play in a more competitive division. And Sarah from down south in L.A. is in their division. In previous years, Sarah has been loaded with, you know, 6 or 7 Division I players at a time. I think they're a little bit down this year from what they were maybe 2 years ago. But still, Lompoc is going to be tested once they get into the playoffs. But until then, if they can get by Templeton, I'm not sure they are going to be tested too much.
I'm always interested in this, being from Slo County, you, as asking outsiders, people who move here for whatever reason. What were your first impressions of San Luis County?
It doesn't snow here. I was really impressed. And I've lived a lot of different places, and I've always just loved wherever I lived. You know, you just make the best out of it. But you don't have to try very hard to make the best out of it here. I mean, you know, living by the ocean is cool, and having the opportunity to, instead of having to kind of throw your hand outside and testing the weather before you decide what you want to wear, you know, it's pretty safe just to wake up, throw some shorts on and go, or a short sleeve and go out and go. So that's been cool. And
especially the last couple of days, man.
Yeah, it's been steam in the last few days, and the people are great. So, I mean, my impressions were, this is really beautiful. And then after 6-7 months, it's like, okay, this really feels like home because of the people here.
Great. I know you're from Minnesota. You're from the Minneapolis area, and I know Jeanette Trumpeter was in Minneapolis for a while. Did you ever run into her there? Did you ever meet her? I grew up watching her.
Okay. I grew up watching her, and I remember when the news director here called me about the job. He's like, "Oh, we have an old Minneapolis anchor, Jeanette Trumpeter, that works here." And I was like, "Really? I didn't know that. That's awesome. That's really cool." And I interned at one of the other stations, so I never did cross paths with Jeanette. But then a couple months after I started, then John Rieger got hired at KSBY, and he was also at one of the Minneapolis stations. So I grew up watching Jeanette and John, and so that was really cool. And then Dave Hovde's from Fargo, North Dakota, so that's essentially Minnesota. So we got you know, four guys at the station with real ties to Minnesota, and then we just recently added Caroline Lowe, who's another Minnesotan. So we're just loaded up with Minnesotans at KSBY.
Must be something nice about coming to Slo County and the maybe it is the weather, right?
Yeah, you betcha. Yeah. You betcha it's the weather.
You betcha.
I tell you what, no lutefisk out here, but it's still pretty enjoyable.
I love it. That being said, what's the most difficult thing about covering sports in San Luis County, do you think?
I mean, the big thing anywhere you go is, can you get to where you need to be?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, we're covering, you know, we actually cover all the way down to Santa Barbara, and we've kind of made the decision that we're just simply not going to be able to cover Santa Barbara High School, San Marcos High School. If something big's happening there, we'll mention it, but we just flat out do not have the resources. We can't do it.
You can't go to Paso and Bishop Diego in the same night or something.
So essentially, we've really focused on Lompoc to Paso Robles, you know, San Ynez, or however you want to put it. So Pac-7 LPL teams.
Sure.
So getting places is always kind of difficult, but that's not necessarily more of an issue here. The people are all... People always think that their team or their kid should be covered more than they do, but that's actually hasn't been too bad here. People kind of get it, you know. People understand that that we're doing the best we can, and
I don't feel like there's the intensity here, right? As at some level, like there's not that over intense. I mean, it's intense and people are excited about stuff, but
they know when to hit the they know when to settle it down a little bit. There doesn't seem to be that overboard. Fansmanship too much.
Yeah, I really liked your and of course NBC affiliates get the Olympics, and I really liked your pre-Olympic bits with you and Andrew Masuda, especially the last one. I really enjoyed the marathon. You guys were stopping all over the place. How much fun are those to do?
Really fun. I get so much enjoyment out of doing that stuff, and ideally they're entertaining. I get so much. It's so fun to get the thought that you're entertaining people. Now, of course, a lot of times you think you're being entertaining and people at home are like, you're an idiot. Of course that happens from time to time, and we're just doing our best. But, you know, those are the type of things that I think people can give you the benefit of the doubt on, like, okay, hey, whether it turns out good or not, I can at least appreciate that you're trying to have some fun there. So those were really fun. What we did is we just picked five different Olympic events and just goofed around with them.
Yeah. And I like I said, it was definitely fun to watch. Tell me this, live sports wise, and obviously you're doing basketball play by play at Cal Poly. You're doing football play by play. Talk about kind of the ins and the outs of that for you. I mean, you get to do five games a year, right?
Only. We're doing four football games this year. We're doing all the Big Sky home games. So starting with Colorado State and Portland State and going forward. And we did the Davis game.
Right.
And then basketball is yet to be determined.
Right.
Usually we do the UCSB game and one other. So we'll see what we do this year.
So you're talking about a crew that gets to do six total games a year. And sometimes I hear people, you know, criticize, and I want to tell them, guys, these are people who get to do six games a year. They don't have the repetition of other people who do, you know, say, you know, 20 games, you know, two games a week, three games a week. Not just the on-air talent, but the back, you know, behind the scenes people too. And that being said, I think you guys do a really good job. But sometimes I feel like telling people to take a deep breath for a second.
Well, first of all, you're taking guys who are like running cameras in a studio,
and
all of a sudden now they're shooting highlights for a football game, and you know, you're taking a director who's used to directing a TV, a news broadcast,
and
now he's directing
plan.
A football game.
Yeah.
And so we have, the one thing I'll say is we've gotten a lot better.
I agree.
Since we started, we've just gotten incrementally better, and I think the Davis game we did last week, or a couple weeks ago now, was our best game that we've ever done. So if you figure that every game you do is better and better, and that is from, I mean, I had never done play by play for football before, so I feel like I'm getting better with that. Andrew and I are getting better calling the games, and then certainly the camera work and just everything else that goes with it has gotten smoother. So you're right. I mean, we're not going to look like Fox Sports Net. We're not going to look like ESPN, but we're going to try to be as close to that as we can. And we're delivering something that nobody else can. No one else is going to televise Cal Poly sports. So we're given an opportunity for people in Paso Robles who might not make it down for a game to see it.
So some people say that, you know, televising and, you know, with the NFL blackout rules and things like that, some people might say that it lessens the value of the live event. But I find that it actually raises, especially at Cal Poly. If there's a game that's on TV, that's a game that people want to be at rather than and kind of tape and watch it at home when they get back, rather than say, it's on TV, I'll just stay home and watch it on TV, right?
It's hard to say. Last year, there was a few games we did late that weren't anywhere near sellouts.
Okay.
And there was some talk that because they were on TV, people weren't coming out. But also, Cal Poly was kind of a borderline playoff team at that point. So,
So
it's hard to say. But then the Davis game was a sellout. So I think, what the TV stuff does, televising these games, is it ideally broadens the fan base. Okay,
raises,
there's someone who would never make it to a game. Now
they're
watching a few games. Oh, okay, this is my local team. I'm going to get behind the Mustangs, and maybe somewhere down the line they do go out to a game. So ideally those TV games broaden the fan base. Whether they take away from the gate, I don't know.
Yeah. In San Luis Obispo, you've done basketball and football play-by-play. What are other sports that are maybe your... Is basketball your favorite sport, having played that? growing up, or what's a favorite sport?
Favorite sport to play is basketball, yeah. And I like playing football too, but it's just really, really hard. I mean, like, I'm still a guy who, I'm like an 18-year-old kid, 16-year-old kid. I want to go out and play like neighborhood basketball and football every day.
Oh yeah,
and I do get a chance to play basketball all the time because those games are easy to find at gyms. But
you get sore, right? I mean, it starts hurting later.
But you know, don't get a chance to play football as much. But yeah, those are my two favorite sports to play. And as far as covering, football might be the most enjoyable sport to cover.
At 6'7", did you play football in high school?
Wide receiver. Yeah.
Really?
Throw it up.
Throw it up, baby.
Yeah.
Jump balls, playing basketball on the football field. Yeah. I like it. Favorite sports teams growing up? You're a Minneapolis guy.
I was really loyal to the local teams. Yeah. Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves have been the team that they've been like the little child that's like, just, he's not, you know, no one else sees the goodness in him, but I see the goodness in the Timberwolves. someday they're going to be really good. And
isn't there some issue with their GM and
their GM, he's just made some questionable moves. He's probably taken a lot more heat than he deserves.
When I was up there this summer, that was like a big thing. A couple guys.
Yeah.
Were talking
a lot about, of just, people are complaining about GMs everywhere.
Uh-huh.
But so I'm really loyal to the Minnesota teams, the Minnesota colleges.
Uh-huh. Being a basketball guy, and obviously basketball season is still a little ways away. But give me your take on this year's upcoming Cal Poly team. That, you know, they lost, I think, six or seven seniors, and they have a bunch of big guys that are going to be young. As a former big man yourself, do you think it's possible? I mean, how can they compete in the Big West with, you know, a lot of freshmen playing
not
forward
a whole lot
positions?
Of size, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they got the shooter, Reese Morgan, who would have played last year if it weren't for the fact that he injured his knee. So you got him thrown in there. Chris O'Brien returns from an ACL injury. They lost Malik Love. How bad? He had a foot injury. Yeah. How bad is it going to be? Is it foot?
He had surgery, I think, yesterday or the day before. The Mustang Daily said at least 3 weeks, maybe the whole season.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. If you lose him, then you're kind of really shallow at the point guard position. They brought in a kid from Wisconsin who they think can be a legit center. I got a chance to watch him practice yesterday.
Is that Josh Hall?
No. Oh. I can't think of the kid's name, actually. Baldwin.
The late signer. Yeah,
I'm sorry. It's just totally, for some reason I can't grasp at these names right now, but that's a kid that they're really high on is the big center from the Midwest. They think that he's like a kid who could have gone big time Division I.
Bennett he's from Chicago.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chicago. Yeah. Mid, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. They're really high on him. Yeah. I mean, they think he's legit and that he can come in and play right away and be a force in the middle. The issue is they lost a ton of size. Yeah. If you build the team around Chris Eversley and, you know, you've got Drake Uyu running around on the wing. But the thing of it is Cal Poly's never going to look impressive. You're never going to look at them and be like, oh, wow, we're worried about them. But
coming
then they just
play, right?
Get into you. They D the heck out of you. They have great game plans going into every game. And before you know it, they've got a good little record going.
What's the most fun coach to interview in San Luis County?
Oh, that's a
college, high school. Who do you enjoy asking questions to the most?
Coach Walsh is by far the most seasoned veteran when it comes to interviews. So he's not. I do a coach's show with Coach Walsh every Sunday night, right. and I love doing it because he's such a professional and he's got such a vast football knowledge. But
it's like off the top too.
But yeah, a lot of it with him is he's been through it so much, so he's just. He kind of has readied responses a little bit more. And I'm not saying he's not candid, but, oh, wow. So some of the high school football coaches are pretty cool. Let's come back to that question. Let me kind of think of it as we're going here.
All right, no problem. What's something about you that people don't know?
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot. There's probably a lot that I intentionally keep from people.
That you don't mind being out
in terms of...
I'll give you an answer that somebody else gave. Okay. So I talked to Faith Mimna earlier this year, and she said she likes to read murder mystery novels. She said she's she's way into murder mystery novels. So.
Well, I guess one thing is when I moved out here, came out here as a single man, mm-hmm. and after a few years out here, met a Cal Poly grad.
Okay,
and now she and I are. On the runway to marriage. She's my fiance now, and next summer we're getting married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's something that you always hear the life's going to work out for you, you know, and uh-huh, everything uh-huh. that led to me coming to here uh-huh. is, you know, led to me meeting her. And so I'm just so fortunate and thankful for how things have worked out for me.
Very good. And ladies, he's taken now. So you can all like, take a deep breath and step back off.
How is the female, viewership on the blog?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
what female? No. I don't think our wives even look at our blogs. So.
I think the three of you guys need to just get up a spread of all three of you guys with your shirts off on the front page of the website and maybe start attracting some of the ladies that way.
That would not be a pretty picture. So yeah, that's great. You know, I'm like a third generation. My grandma moved out from Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
To LA area, and you know, kind of moved out to Hollywood with her sister and aunt, and ended up meeting my grandfather. And so that's my mom's mom, I guess, is originally from the Midwest as well.
She's a Scotty.
I was going to drive up there when I was there. I went out to Madison, and there was what I called a blizzard, what they called, you know, a little storm.
Yeah, a little flicker of
a little
snow.
Flurry.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to drive a rental car on that stuff at all. So tell me this. Back to the question. I'm not going to let you dodge it totally. Who's the most fun interview? Come on.
Okay, yeah. Probably Joe Calero.
Calero?
The Cal Poly men's basketball coach.
Yeah.
He's so energetic, and he really gets it. He gets that if he wants to build his program, he's got to sell it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's been out there, and he's trying to do things to make the program bigger and better. And so I love people who are enthusiastic about what they do. And every single time I interview him, he whether it be after a loss or, you know, just midweek, he's always really energetic.
I feel like I get a lot from Coach Calero just by the look he gives you, kind of the look on his face, the body. I mean, it's always kind of very similar, but there's little, like, I feel like little looks that he can give you where, man, I'm just beat after that game or, oh man, I'm so excited. I could go run, you know, 3 miles right now.
Well, 'cause even a coach, you know, the players are obviously exhausted after games, but coaches, you know, they're jumping up and down and mentally exhausted after those games too. So sometimes they're kind of beaten down in those post game interviews.
So this game against Davis, this last one that you did, this last home game, you felt like it was your guys' best call so far?
Yeah, it was. And the next three games we do are going to be on KSBY. That game was on the CW.
That's right.
And it just looked good. I mean, it, again, we don't have the camera angles. We don't have all the stuff. But we're out there trying. We're trying to give you an insight on you know, we have a guy on the sideline doing interviews and stuff all the time. So we're doing the best we can. And I think at least... I think everyone would say it's better than nothing.
Was it Hovde last time?
Yeah, Dave did the sidelines. Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, and I see him at
Cal Poly games a lot. Actually, him with, you know, hanging out and
he'll come out to baseball, football, basketball games. Absolutely, yeah. He's
just on his own.
Some Mustangs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, give us a quick plug for your show one more time.
The Central Coast High School Football Show.
Yeah.
Thursday nights on ESPN Radio 1280. We're just talking high school football. And then, of course, we've got the Friday night highlight show on KSBY on Friday nights.
And what time does that start?
That's about 11:10 on KSBY.
How hectic is that on Friday nights for you guys? I mean, I see you guys out at games, and this is something that people don't know either, and maybe some people do. But if you see, like, the 6'7" guy with a camera, that's not like Bill Halter's, like, twin brother cameraman. Like, Bill Halter, Andrew Masuda, all those guys, it's basically, I would imagine, every all hands on deck on Friday.
It's one of those cameras, right? Where from 7 o'clock until 11:30, you don't have any second where you're not working. You know,
I mean, you're jamming, right?
You're jamming. You're shooting the game, and then you got to rush back, edit highlights of not only that game but three others, and you know, you're writing stuff, getting scores, trying to call coaches for highlights and stats and stuff. And we do make it a really high priority to get names right. We don't want a kid making a play and us calling the wrong names, but usually all we have to go by is rosters. You know,
right, so we'll roster rosters. And
sometimes those aren't always
best
right.
Guess. So, yeah.
So sometimes those aren't always right. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where that is a lot of fun to do because, as you mentioned, there's a lot of things we do that people were just kind of tune into and, oh, that's great, you know, that's on. But I think Friday Night Highlights is the one thing that people really kind of get excited for because of the things that you mentioned. You know, hey, let's see if, you know, Johnny had that touchdown in the second quarter. Let's see if they put it on TV. It's always fun to kind of see it on TV. So we understand that that's kind of our time where we've got to be at our best. And so we try to be that.
So you send camera people to try to send them to all the games that are local here? Is that how you guys
what
do that?
What we try to do is we try to have one person just be able to shoot one game.
Okay.
Rather than, hey, I'm going to shoot the first half of this game and then go shoot the second
first
half of
this game. First half of Paso, second half of Templeton or something.
Yeah, because what happens if that Paso game is awesome when we miss the ending? Or right. shoot, you know. So
you
we
miss
try
that awesome
to,
play, right?
So we've got me, Andrew, and then usually four other photographers out shooting games. That's six games, and if we need to, someone can go to two and get seven, so...
Right, right. But I would imagine that that last like hour and a half between 10, like games are over at what, like 9:30, 10, maybe sometimes 10:15. That's got to be like really crunch time in there.
It's easier now that they're in league play because they're playing each other. But in non-league games, when they're all playing other people, we've got more games and we're like trying to figure out 10 games. There's certainly been a number of times where it's like, yep, we're not going to be able to get it all. And we figure, you always find a way to do it. Whether sometimes during commercial breaks, we'll... As soon as a commercial hits, we'll take our microphone off, sprint in, and like edit video real quick, put it on, sprint back out, and then we're going.
I love it. Well, definitely got to hustle when you're in a market like San Luis Obispo, and I know the fans really appreciate it. Bill Halter from KSBY, I appreciate you joining fansmanship.com podcast today.
Absolutely. Who's going to win the Mustangs Weber State game Friday?
You know, Weber State's what,
0-5.
0-5.
Deceiving 0-5. Coach Walsh says they're the best 0-5 team he's ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he better say that.
They've lost to two FBS teams and two FCS teams ranked in the top 20.
In the top 20, yeah. So I'm going to say Mustangs have been playing close games. I'm going to say Mustangs by 6.
Yeah.
So let's go like, I don't know, 30 to 24 or something random like that.
Okay. I think they'll win by more than that. And this is certainly a scary game.
They should win by more than that, but they also should have won by more than that against Davis, I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's the horseshoe game. And they've showed that they haven't really played like the perfect game yet, but they've kind of squeaked it out at the end. And it's another road game. I think two road games in 2 weeks is tough.
I think, certainly. And I think a lot of Cal Poly fans are going to just naturally think this is Cal Poly teams of old. And we don't know if it's not yet.
Yeah.
You know, Cal Poly teams of old always had those stretches, whether it be a whole game or a couple quarters, where they were just not where they needed to be and not up to task.
Well, and the interesting thing this year is that they've been that way, I feel like, but they haven't, but it hasn't hurt them in the end. I mean, they've figured out a way to reclaim the momentum in almost every game that they've had. They've had the momentum, lost it, and got it back, at least the last three especially. So it'll be really interesting to see if they can do that.
Yeah, got to take care of this one, and now they're, and then they'd be going into a home's two games in a row at home, 5-0, 3-0 in the Big Sky, ranked in the top 15. Well, the rankings are irrelevant right now because they should be in the top 10 already.
So I see a lot of like blog posts and message board posts about the rankings. What do you make of the rankings? I mean, there's so many different ones. There's the Sagarin ranking.
Yeah, the Sagarin is a computer ranking. Right. And then there's a couple of websites that like do their own where it's just like two or three guys that are ranking them. Those are more relevant. But the media and the coaches' polls are the ones that get looked at. I used to vote my old station in North Dakota. We voted in the FCS poll.
Uh-huh.
And here's the thing. You show up on Monday morning or Sunday night whenever you do the voting.
You look at the score.
You don't know what McNeese State did. You don't get a chance to watch any of these games. We're working. We're working on our own local sports.
Exactly.
So you don't have time to sit down and spend 2 hours figuring out who beat who. So you kind of just rush through it.
You look at what everybody else said probably.
Everyone else said. Yeah, and what happens is, okay, you've got your top 25. Okay, did they all win? All right, then I'll just keep them in the top 25. If a couple of them lost, I'll move them down a few spots.
Put
and then if I need
to
move someone
that.
In, okay, who are the teams, the other teams receiving votes? All right, I'll move them. And they won, that works. So the coaches, of course, don't have a chance to know what's going on. They're worried about their own team.
Right.
So the coaches and media polls are just really off base.
But don't those polls matter when it comes to pick who the at-large playoff teams are,
right? I don't think
right?
so.
No?
I don't think they look at those teams.
Does the NCAA pick the at-large teams like they pick the NCAA basketball tournament?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I think
there's like a committee.
The rankings, the computer rankings and stuff they take into account, but I don't think the media and coaches really factor into their decisions at all.
Yeah, I hope not. Like I said, I feel like Cal Poly's been kind of squeaking by. I think if they can put together like a pretty error-free game, then yeah, I mean, they'll have it easy. Comparatively at Weber State, but I don't know if I see that happening. Zalud might still be hurt, and
No, they say he's fine. They say he's good. He's missed three in a row, but they've been getting off to great starts, and that's the difference between last year and this year. They've been getting off to great starts. When you get big leads, if you do have a lull, well, then once you give up, you know, two touchdowns in a row, you're still winning or tied or whatever it may be. So
right. It's been good. So exciting game coming up. You're not heading out to Utah, right?
No.
Okay. All right. No. But you'll be back for it's Northern Colorado's one of them at home, right?
Yeah.
And then the other one is
Portland State. Yeah, we're televising both those games.
Great. On KSPY. This week's game's on Friday night, so catch that. You can actually get that game on Big Sky TV, excuse me. So you can Google Big Sky TV, and that's a pretty good service. It's free as well. Bill Halter, again, I really appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Yep, sounds good, Owen.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com. Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. Signs out on the streets direct me running back.